When you think about it, there's quite a lot of constants in the universe. The inability of most men to see past a pretty face. The fact that no one ever wants to do the washing up. That prison cells are all the same, no matter where you go in the galaxy. If I had to classify this one, I'd call it, well, let's be generous, shabby. I imagine that thing in the corner is supposed to be a bed. The rodents seem to think so, and there's all the usual comforts. Manacles, high window with reinforced bars, a bowl of some sort of vegetable stew, at a guess, and the obligatory iron door guarded by two thick-set men without necks. I've had better. One reaches a certain level of notoriety in the business of appropriating things, and you'd think you'd get accommodation that matches your rep. But no, that's Hulda's for you. Very low rent. A bit beneath me, really. So, escape ploys. They took all my stuff. I wonder if they're stupid enough to fall for the, I feel sick, please call a doctor, ruse. I could try taking my top off to distract them, but it is rather chilly in here. Of course, I could just wait. I mean, my friends wouldn't just leave me here, would they? Not Daniel, no. Muscles and Cam, Samantha, and General Landry likes me, like a daughter to him, he said. At least, that's what I think he said. Perhaps I might have been reading too much into it. I mean, it wasn't my fault those hunters captured me. I didn't have much choice, what with all the guns and all. I'm sure SG-1 know I'm here. I'm sure. Maybe the rats know a way out. To be honest, I wasn't really expecting visitors. Well, maybe the odd person coming along for a bit of gloating. Vala Mala Duran. He didn't sound friendly. Step back from the door.
Actually, it's Mal Duran. Her name, I mean.
Daniel!
Yep, that's her.
What? No hug? Could you get these off me? They're really chafing my wrists.
No.
Oh. There was a man with him. He introduced himself as Justicar Yannick, but he might as well have been wearing a sign around his neck that said, Cop. Big long coat with brocade and epaulettes, a gun, a sash, and a fat gold badge on an armband. And he had a tall hat as well. They have a thing about big hats on Hulders. Personally, I think it looks rather silly, but there you go. He was the unfriendly one, the one who couldn't even say my name right. Pinched face like he was chewing on something sour.
Vala, Mr. Yannick here is the local equivalent of a legal investigator. He represents the Huldos Justice Council.
Good, fine, great. Can he take the manacles off then? I mean, I'm hardly going to be able to be released if... You're not here to rescue me, are you?
It's, complicated.
Complicated? No, Jackson, it's not. Why don't you come over here and get chained to a wall, and then you can see how simple that actually is. Chain, wall, prison cell, very straightforward.
Your people have agreed to have you processed through the courts of Hulders, said Yannick.
I could tell he was quite pleased about that, in a sniffy sort of way. My reaction wasn't as well meted.
What? Why?
Vala, you know the situation at Stargate Command right now. The International Oversight Advisory wants us to make as many allies as we can in the face of the Aurea invasion. We need to keep good diplomatic relations with other planets so we can trade information and tactical data. Huldos is one of those worlds.
Which was Daniel's way of telling me I wasn't going to get beamed away to some waiting rescue ship. I tried to explain to Yannick that this whole arrest thing was, of course, some unpleasant misunderstanding. Clearly a case of mistaken identity, that the bounty hunters who brought me in had made a gross error, which I would be willing to forgive if he uncuffed me this very minute. He wasn't really getting my angle on it, though.
I wonder if the hat was too tight. Maybe it was cutting off the blood, getting to the sympathy centers of his brain. What am I saying? Sympathy? He was a police drone. No imagination. A small, officious little man.
They say you broke the law here. Several laws, actually, all at once. Is that true?
Absolutely not. I'm shocked that you would think that. Look, see? This is my shocked face.
Bella.
I'm innocent. It was one of those times when having your reputation precede you was really, really annoying. Yannick, of course, took the opportunity to kick me while I was down. He said it with glee, too. I definitely saw some glee in his eyes when he spoke again. Bala Maldoran, you are bound by law to be held here in the dungeons of the Great Citadel Tower, pending a final judicial decision at the highest level of our magistratum.
Final? Doesn't she get a trial or something?
That didn't appear to be an issue. According to the esteemed Justicar, I had already been tried in absentia for my crimes.
Oh, that's not good.
You think? Yannick reluctantly agreed to give us a moment alone. As soon as he was out of the cell, I filled Daniel in on my plan. The beam up Vala and we all live happily ever after plan. I thought it was a winner. He didn't go for it.
Do you have any idea how hard it was for the SGC to get the Justice Council to even allow me to come see you? I had to tell them I was your attorney.
You're my lawyer? Somehow that doesn't fill me with a sense of optimism.
I am the only other member of SG-1 on the planet. Sam, Teal'c, Cam. The Holdos enforcers wouldn't even let them through the Stargate.
Just me and you, then. Cozy.
How did you get yourself into this?
You should know. You were there. It all started out so nicely. General Landry had sent us off on another jolly scouting mission. We were supposed to be looking for any priors doing their scary Fear the Wrath of the Ori thing. We got to P4X something something something, and it was just gorgeous. I wished I'd packed sunscreen in a bikini. Crystal clear green sea, warm orange sand, handsome native boys.
Skip to the end.
Don't rush me, I'm building a sense of mood. Anyway, the place looked peaceful, and more importantly, the locals had never heard of the Ori, so we were two for two. At that point, it was all going swimmingly. Just to be sure, Colonel Mitchell wanted us to split up and take a look around. Hey, this place is cool. We get done checking it out, maybe Landry will let us come back and do some surfing. Teal'c agreed. Indeed. Of course, Daniel had other ideas. There are some interesting ruins in the shallows. I'd like to take a look at them and do some archaeological things.
I don't sound like that.
Shut up, I'm talking.
Archaeological things?
So, we left you boys behind to make sand castles, and Colonel Carter and I ventured off to the local settlement. It wasn't exactly jumping. Not much going on, really. Mostly fishing and fishing-related activities. But, more importantly, no sign of anything dangerous. The locals weren't going to eat us or turn out to be holograms or something horrible like that. They were just traders and fishermen. It would have been a nice resort. But we let our guard down. Sam was explaining these things called pina coladas to me when a buff guy in battle armor turned up with a bunch of his playmates. They weren't locals, that was apparent straight away. They had off-world hardware and bad attitudes. I knew the type from first-hand experience. Bounty hunters. They were all kinds of lethal.
They recognized you.
I have a very memorable face. It's as much a bane as it is a gift. They pulled zaps and made their ungentlemanly intentions very clear. I was ready to give them a fight. I could be quite a tough girl when I want to be, but...
Oh no! Vala, look out! Help me!
They got the drop on Carter. She's so trusting at times, honestly. It's endearing. Of course, I had to make the selfless choice. I gave myself up in order to save poor Samantha from a horrible death. And all the rest of you, too. I dropped my weapons and surrendered. Let her go, you evil wretches. Take me instead.
No, Vala, run. Run while you still can.
No, Sam, I cannot. Not while one of my friends is in danger. I think I was very brave. Before I knew it, I was under arrest and being dragged back through the gate to Haldus. It wasn't a planet I ever wanted to visit again.
Selfless.
Pretty much. Don't feel that you have to thank me.
Well, As entertaining as that episode of Valamal Duran Tragic Heroine was, what I seem to recall is you dropping everything and running for the gate the moment you laid eyes on those hunters.
That's another interpretation of those events. I'm not saying it's not valid. It's just not mine.
Are you getting this? I mean, really, do you actually understand how much trouble you are in? A harsh legal code underpins every aspect of society on Holdos. You're making light of this. But Yennek's people see it differently. They're deadly serious.
Yes. The accommodations seem to reflect that. I'm sorry. Force of habit.
What did you do, Vala?
Have you ever heard of a device called the Eye of the Dawn? Interesting career, you know. Before I crossed paths with SG-1, Teal'c, and all my Tauri mates, I had a pretty lucrative living as a... Well, I suppose an uncharitable critic might call me a... thief. Actually, come to think of it, most people would call me a thief, but I preferred to describe myself as a free agent. It was in that capacity I first found myself on the planet Huldus. I've always had a sense of opportunity. I think it comes from wanting to make up for lost time, making the best play of a bad hand, if you get my meaning. You see, before I became a free agent, I had the considerably less pleasant job of being the slave host to a gold system lord called Katesh, who was, to be honest, a bit of a bitch. Luckily for me, the snake was evicted from my head, but not without leaving behind some extensive knowledge of alien technology. Like I said, opportunity. I used what I knew to make some cash. The galaxy is littered with high-tech stuff from a dozen different races. Some extinct, some just very bad at cleaning up after themselves. Admittedly, a lot of it is trash, but some of it is valuable. And if you can tell the difference, well, you see where I'm going with this, right? Thanks to that parasite, Katesh, I knew the whereabouts of a few interesting bits of kit, of which the Eye of the Dawn was one. It's an ancient device. That's ancient as in ascended godlike aliens ancient, not very, very old ancient. And that meant a nice payday if I could, liberate it. Which is why I had insinuated myself into the great Citadel Tower in the Huldus capital. The eye belonged to a man called Erican, and it was the pride of his collection. He was a powerful warlord on Huldus, with a pretty stiff reputation. He made sure he stayed at the top of the heap by deliberately keeping his people at a low level of technology. Erican, of course, lived large at their expense.
I am Erican. No man can be my equal.
He was loud and self-important with the sex appeal of an Unus, a hairy Unus who didn't bathe much, if ever. I learned two interesting facts about Erican quite early on. The first was that nobody on Huldus, none of his generals or the other warlords, had the guts to challenge him. Why? Because Erican's enemies and rivals had this nasty habit of disappearing. I don't mean turning up dead with an overdose of lead poisoning or that sort of thing. I mean literally vanishing into thin air. The second fact was much more useful. Erican had a thing for redheads. I knew I'd caught his eye the moment I entered the room. It's a girl thing, you can just tell. A quick injection of follicle nanites programmed to switch my lustrous raven tresses to a blazing flame red was all it took. They'd wear off after a while, but I didn't plan on sticking around that long. In, out, ka-ching. That was the idea. I had a Teltac cargo ship hidden in the woodlands. Once I parted Erican from the Eye, I had a guy in the Lucian Alliance already lined up to take it off my hands. All angles covered. Or so I thought. At the time, I had no clue about how utterly wrong it was going to go. Through the correct application of bribery, I'd been able to secure myself a place as a wine server to Erican's table. He drank the stuff like it was water, knocking back goblets full and beckoning me over every 5 minutes for another refill. That was fine with me, because the drunker someone gets, the looser their grip on good judgment. And for what I had in mind, I wanted the warlord to be pretty darn loose.
Erican soaked up the drink like a sponge, but I needn't have been concerned. Like most people who have more power than they should, he let his baser instincts rule him. He leered at me in the way that a starving man looks at a bit of meat.
Mark me, but I don't think I've had the pleasure of your service before, my girl. I would have remembered you're such a pretty thing.
Oh, my lord, you're the very model of a fine gentleman. I think I flounced my hair at this point. It was a nice touch. I batted my eyelids and did a bit of cooing. Basically, I played the unworldly but buxom and pliant approach right to the hilt. You know how it goes. Starry-eyed, hanging on his every word with breathless gasps. Ooh, melodic giggles at each attempted witticism. And because I'm very good at what I do, he bought it. Everything was going well. The red hair was really selling it for me. I had it scoped out in my head. I figured at some point before the night's revels were called to a halt, Erican would offer some lewd suggestion for a bit of slap and tickle, and I'd eagerly take him up on it. Then, once we were alone, I'd use the control module in my pocket to activate the Paximorph nanocapsule dust I'd poured into his wine. The capsules are pirated Pangaran technology. Push-button sedatives, in effect. Once someone has them in their body, you can put them out just like that. Instant and undetectable. Expensive, though, but the money I'd be getting for the Eye of the Dawn made it worthwhile. With him in Dreamland, I'd be free to do the crime unhindered. Erican would wake the next morning with colourful memories and a big hole in his artifact collection. But that's about the time things started to go off the map. Erican looked me up and down.
"Vala, my dear," he said. "This evening, you have impressed me with your manners. It's not often I find a woman of such beauty who still knows her place before a man."
"Oh, I am happy to serve, warlord." He grinned.
"Perhaps you might wish to serve me in another capacity."
"Oh, I would love..."
"As my wife."
"What?" Okay, I have to admit, I didn't see that one coming. But then again, none of my escapades ever go without something wacky happening. So I rolled with it. Improvising, it's another thing I'm good at.
Oh, yes.
I would be so very honoured. Oh.
"Of course you would," he leered. "And frankly, I've grown so tired of my current spouse. She's quite wearisome. I feel the need for a change. You'll serve my purposes."
"Great."
My first instinct was to run. Getting hitched to this corpulent tub wasn't in the script. But then I thought, as I often did, of the money. It wasn't the money's fault he'd said that. Poor money. Poor, poor money. I had to do my best to set it free. I had misread the locals a little. Haldus, as I soon learned, has a bit of a prude thing going on. Blood and violence they don't have a problem with, but extramarital naughtiness was frowned upon for high-ranking warlords like Erican. He had to be at least seen to be showing some respectability, which explained the number of wives he'd had, and later packed off to various countryside retreats when he got bored with them. Agreeing to be Mrs. Warlord meant juggling things around. First chance I had, I got back out to the Teltac and grabbed some more of the follicle nanites. I didn't want to turn dark-haired at an inopportune moment, but I was out of doses of Paximorph dust. I'd have to put Erican out of commission the old-fashioned way, with something heavy. I was actually a bit disappointed by the wedding. I mean, a lot of girls dream of being a princess and marrying some kingly guy, don't they? I expected at the very least some amount of razzle-dazzle, and maybe a nice dress. All I got was a hat. A tall, pointy hat. Slightly bendy at the end. Wasn't really me. The ceremony was pretty much do you, do she, clap hands, and it was done. Erican used it as an excuse for another celebration, and I did a lot of smiling and nodding, attempting all the while to look like an idiot while I figured out how I was going to get the eye out of the citadel. He had an octagonal bed with a zero-gravity generator unit fitted under the mattress. I think you can probably guess what that was used for. Erican's stateroom was lush, and it didn't lack in heavy objects. I found a rather crude-looking bit of erotic pottery that had a good heft to it.
My new hubby swaggered into the room. I think he was naked, but I'm not really certain. Mercifully, my subconscious has blanked that particular detail from my memory. He pointed at the vase I was holding. Ah, that's a Melkiri lovern. Do you like it? It is said to increase the potency of any males who have it within their bedchambers.
Really? Wow. Is it worth a lot of money?
That seemed to amuse him. Not really, my dear.
Oh, good. Then it doesn't matter if I do this, then.
I got him onto the bed and quickly rewired the projector coils to invert the gravity field. He'd be pinned there under 8 times Huldus normal gravity until someone got him out. Pausing only to ditch that stupid, stupid hat, I made my way to the gallery on the floor above. The Eye of the Dawn. Pictures don't do it justice, really. A crystal sphere the size of a Kitik melon. Light does lovely things when it strikes the surface, all these glittery motes and subtle colours. I'll say this for the ancients. They knew how to make the pretty. The gallery was a fairly standard rotating table pentagonal variant with null screen panels, photonic sensors, and a narrowband biometric haze scope. I'd once borrowed a solar sailor yacht from an orbital shipyard with the same setup, but of course I'd had to do that from inside a spacesuit. This, by contrast, was child's play. Overconfidence. Do you know, if I have a character flaw, I think that could be it. The Goa'uld have quite a lot of swear words. I used one of them. I had it in my hand, right there. But it was heavier than it looked, and I admit it, I was a little dazzled. Then my brain caught up, and I did the running thing. This is the part where it all went bad. Badder. I underestimated Erican. He was there with his guardsmen, shouting and yelling that he'd have my head stuffed and mounted. I ran through the maze of the Citadel's corridors, but they were right on top of me. They cornered me in the arboretum. I knew I could make it out of the skylight, but they'd have me gunned down the moment I went for it. I needed a distraction, but there was only one thing I could use. There comes a moment when you have to choose between lead or gold. The money would have been great. But what use would it have been if I was spending the rest of my life dead? Hey, Erican! Catch!
You threw it at him.
Yep. Eric and his flunkies were all so busy trying to grab it, they forgot to keep shooting at me. I got to the gate and dialed off-world as fast as I could. And that was that. Not the best of capers from my otherwise stellar career. The Lucian Alliance were not pleased that I'd lost to Teltac and failed to hold up my end of the agreement, I can tell you. They demanded compensation. The whole rotten mess cleaned me out. I spent the next few months doing my best to play it down and making sure I avoided any worlds off the Huldus trade axis.
Guess they must have expanded out to P4X995 since then. The Bikini Planet.
You want to know what I did on Huldus? That's it. Yes, Yannick is completely right. I did, with malice of forethought, come to this very citadel with fraudulent intent and commit a theft. Well, actually, it was an attempted theft, because I never got away with the eye, but the point's moot. I made Erican look like a fool, and that's really what this is about. I am guilty of larceny. Sorry.
There's just one problem.
I'm not going to like this, am I?
Vala, the crime the Justice Council have convicted you of isn't theft. It's murder.
I've done questionable things. I've lied and I've cheated. I've taken stuff that doesn't belong to me. I've robbed from the rich and kept it. But there are lines I wouldn't cross. Not ever. Murder? I'm not a killer.
I know, but that doesn't matter to these people.
Yannick was clearly feeling left out and he chose that moment to return. Doesn't anyone knock around here? He gave me the kind of look that Mitchell calls the hairy eyeball. Remember when I talked about constants in the universe? Here's another one. No matter what planet you're on, policemen don't do witty. The Justicar started reading off a scroll of metallic paper. This is the accusatory collation document. It lists the crimes of the guilty party. Being cute without a license?
I got the look again, this time from Daniel. What can I say? When I'm nervous, I become sarcastic. More sarcastic than usual, I mean.
Theft, bribery, illegal entry, tampering with prescribed technology, assault against a ranking officer, resisting arrest, criminal damage, impersonating a wine server, marriage under false pretenses.
Oh, stop, I'm blushing.
And the murder of the lady Letika.
Letika? That's impossible. She's not. I would never hurt her.
Who is she?
Letika was Erican's wife. His other wife, I mean. The one he was bored with.
There's more here. It says she was pregnant.
Yes. Yes, she was. Yannick's expression turned icy. He explained how the legal courts on Huldus treated such crimes with the utmost severity. Only the most rigorous and unflinching sentence possible would be accepted by the warlord and the people. His Excellency Erican has made his will clear, said the Justicar, and he has ensured that public sentiment is behind him. It will be for the Magistratum to decide if they will bow to that bidding.
What does that mean, exactly?
When Yannick looked at me again, it was like my heart froze in my chest. The conviction had already been made, and I had been declared guilty. Only the method of punishment was still to be decided. If Erican had his way, at high sun the following day, I would be executed on the steps of the Great Citadel.
I'm here to make sure that doesn't happen. Stargate Command will not let one of its people be put to death.
But Yannick knew more about me than I thought. He knew that I wasn't Tauree like Daniel. She's not one of your people, Dr. Jackson, he said. She's a renegade, a rootless criminal drifter.
Not anymore.
He was right. But that was now. Yannick was talking about a different Vala Maldoran, one that felt like a pale shadow of this me, someone lost and forgotten.
Justicar, remember your government and mine are trying to build bridges. I ask you to exercise leniency.
Yannick frowned at me from under that ridiculous hat. The best result you could hope for is that her execution be commuted to a life term here in the dungeons. Needless to say, I didn't find that very appealing either. I am innocent. Yes, I know how unlikely that sounds. Yes, I did try to steal the eye, but no, I did not kill Letika. She's not dead. She's alive and well. Ah, nuts. Me and my big mouth.
If she's alive, then why isn't she here telling people you didn't kill her?
A question that Yannick was also very interested in knowing the answer to. Granted, the guy didn't call me a liar straight out. He actually offered to listen to any proof I had. Did I have any evidence to back up my claims? Could I produce something to show that Lady Letika was still breathing? No. It was one of those rare occasions when I didn't know what to say. Daniel saw the look on my face.
Vala, just listen to me. This isn't the first time I've done something like this. I got tilted through this Korai thing, and he didn't even want to be found innocent. I've got your back on this. Don't worry.
I trust you, Daniel, but I don't have much faith in the Huldus legal system. I remember what this planet was like when I first came here, how Erican runs this territory. He's got all his sycophants backing him, and everyone else has probably been bought off or scared away from going against him. Yannick took that personally. He was actually insulted, you know, like a normal person. That is untrue, he snapped. I am under no influence but the rule of law. Yeah, right. I didn't believe a word of it.
I've got to go to the Stargate and check in with the General. I will be back later.
Bring me back something nice. Like a cake. With a vial in it.
We'll get you out.
No hurry. Take your time.
Letika, this is the last chance to change your mind. Are you sure about this? If we don't make it... If he catches you with me, you know what will happen. Erican will kill us both. And the baby. Maybe you should try to find another way. Another way.
Oh. Bad dream. I have a lot of those. Comes from having had to share your brain with an alien snake. Of course, that would hardly be a concern once they separated my head from my neck.
Defender.
You're my what?
It's something I just heard in an old Perry Mason rerun. Listen, I talked to Sam. Landry's in Washington. He's going to bat for you against the IOA. Mitchell and Teal'c are with him right now, pressuring them to lean on Huldus.
Oh.
They're military. They all take that never leave a man behind stuff really seriously, but the clock's against us. I don't know if we'll be able to get anything done in time.
I appreciate that. But I think we both know there's only one way to handle this.
Yes?
Damn it, Jackson. Do I have to draw you a diagram? Break me out of the bloody dungeon. I wasn't kidding about the file. Of course, a ZAT or a P90 would work in a pinch.
Don't you think I want to do that? Do you want me to tell you about the frankly doomed plan that Cam came up with, the one that would have got us all killed?
Mitchell had a mad plan just for me. Oh, that's sweet of him.
Or dense in the head, one or the other. I told him no. I told Sam there's another way.
And that would be?
Okay, I need you to do something that's a little off your beam. I need you to tell me the truth. All of it.
And when he said that, I knew I was in real trouble. Daniel had a data tablet in his pack, and he booted it up to show me something. On the screen, there were scans of pages from a book written in ancient, and on one of them, a sketch of something that looked a lot like the Eye of the Dawn.
Is that it?
It could be. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I was thinking about what you said about the Eye. I remembered something that Dr. McKay sent back from the Atlantis expedition, some records they found in a library there.
Now, all the ancient stuff is Daniel's specialty, but I'm a clever girl. I pick things up as I go along. The Atlantis data said the Eye was an early experiment created by a super smart ancient scientist called Janus.
Yeah, he was pretty much the Einstein of ancient spatial-temporal manipulation and 10-dimensional physics.
Einstein? The basketball player?
Yes, the basketball player. Look, that doesn't matter. The point is, that thing, the Eye. Now, I'm willing to bet there's a lot more to it than just the sparkly light show. Of course, without having it in my hand, I can't really be sure of what...
But it could help clear me.
So why don't you go back to the beginning? And this time, tell me what actually happened.
Okay. The truth. Mark me, but I don't think I've had the pleasure of your service before, my girl. I would have remembered you're such a pretty thing.
Oh, my lord, you're the very model of a fine gentleman.
More wine! Ha! Oh, yeah, he was a charmer, all right. It's funny how you remember the little details about a person, isn't it? I have a distinct memory of all the flecks of food stuck in his beard. Erican had his own buffet in there. But anyway, the first time I met Latika was that night. I was getting the warlord his umpteenth refill of the evening, and there she was, the Lady Latika. She studied me. "Do you have water?" she asked. "I'm afraid I do not share my husband's thirsts." She had a worn, weary expression on her face. With the red hair, the two of us looked pretty similar. She was my height, well poised, although the dress she wore was hardly flattering, a shapeless thing. It hung on her like a very fancy sack. Latika had a way about her, though. She seemed, I don't know, tired, like she was carrying a burden that no one else could see. But I wasn't paying attention to that at the time. My eyes were still on the prize, my payday. She gave me a long, measuring look. "Would you like some advice?" She sipped the water and sighed. "Don't follow this path any further. Take your leave now and search for something else." She nodded in the direction of the Great Hall. "He will only bring you sorrow."
"Oh, I'm sure I don't know what you mean, m'lady."
I didn't realize what she was doing. I thought Latika was just a jealous trophy wife, annoyed that her spouse was attracted to me. A faded, marginal woman desperate to protect her own status at the warlord's court. She didn't know why I was really there. She thought I was just another opportunist maiden. So she was half right, then. I didn't realize that she was trying to stop me making the same mistakes that she had. Latika drifted back into the grand hall on my heels, and Erican was right there, in mid-blather, surrounded by his brigade of yes-men, hooting over some callous joke he was making at the expense of the poor. I poured his wine, and he shot Latika a look like she was something he would scrape off his boots.
"Thank you, Vala," he boomed.
You see, this is a woman who understands my needs. That's what every man wants.
Latika would have walked away. Erican wasn't going to let her.
Wife, perhaps I ought to engage the servant girl, eh? She could dispense lessons to you on the maidenly manners they teach the commoners.
He made her look a fool. Like I said before, a boorish, arrogant man. Every word he uttered made me want to rob him blind just a little bit more. She finally left the room with him mocking her to her back. Latika gave me a last glance before she went, and that's when I understood what the conversation in the corridor had been about. I did feel sorry for her, but I had other things on my mind. I kept my focus on the job at hand. Plan A, steal and run, hadn't worked. I went to plan B instead, get married and steal and run. The night before the bonding ceremony, I slipped out of the maiden quarters and scouted the corridors. Preparation is a free agent's best friend. The Citadel is big. I mean, huge. At least as many levels as Cheyenne Mountain, with loads of weird little passageways and halls. I've got a great sense of direction, though. Which way was it now? That's when I saw her again. She was standing on a stone balustrade overlooking an atrium several floors below us, bare feet, weeping, an inch from falling to her death. Lady Latika? She turned to me, pale and sickly. Her hand went to her belly and pressed on that unflattering dress. Sometimes I'm so slow on the uptake, it annoys me. I offered her my hand, and after a while, she took it, came down. Up there, alone and in the quiet, we talked. I don't know why she confided in me, of all people, but she did. Maybe she had nothing to lose. The baby, you see, wasn't Erican's child. Latika had been having an affair with one of the warlord's advisors. She could barely hold back her tears. He was a good and kind man, she said. He honoured me.
Was?
Things fell into place. Erican's abuse had driven his wife into the arms of another man, and when he found out, her lover had been disappeared. She told me the same fate awaited her and the unborn child. Once Erican took me as his new consort, she would vanish like all the others. She'd tried to flee, but the Citadel was heavily guarded. Trapped inside like a prisoner, Latika had finally fallen to the only manner of escape still open to her. If I had turned up just a few minutes later... I decided then and there to help her. Okay, I know what you're thinking. This touchy-feely stuff, it's not the Vala Maldoran you're used to. But hey, I have depths, you know. Deep depths. I'm not all about the money. Well, sometimes.
I never knew you were such a soft touch.
Please don't tell anyone. I have a reputation to live down to. You know, the cold-hearted outlaw in me pointed out how Latika's problems were nothing to do with me and none of my concern. In fact, if she had jumped, it would have turned the Citadel into chaos and I probably could have done the job that night while everyone was distracted. But that's not me. I'm not like Erican. I'm not Katesh. I listened to the other thoughts in my head, the better angels of my nature. I told Latika the truth, who I was, why I was there, what I was going to do. Then I offered her a deal.
Freedom.
I told her that if she helped me get into the Warlord's Gallery, I'd get her off the planet.
What went wrong?
Oh, everything. So, the wedding came and went. I had no desire to have the wedding night follow the same pattern.
Ah, that's a Melkiri Lovern.
Really? Wow.
Latika was waiting for me at the entrance to the gallery. This is the last chance to change your mind. Are you sure about this? If we don't make it, if he catches you with me, you know what will happen. Erican will kill us both, and the baby. Maybe you should try to find another way. She was terrified, but she was ready. I have no other choice, she said. All right, m'lady. Let's do crime. Erican's code for the secure doors isolating the chamber was supposed to be his big secret, but a man's wife is often more observant than he gives her credit for. So far, so good. I wish I had never said that. Huh.
Standard rotating table pentagonal variant. Null screen panels, photonic sensors, narrowband biometric haze code. Child's play. Latika, stay there. Don't touch anything. The Eye of the Dawn. Hello, you pretty thing. It's warm. Feels like it's alive. And that's when I realized what it was I had in my hand. I hadn't really thought that Erican's prize piece would be anything more than a shiny bauble. But I can read a bit of ancient, enough to order a beer or get directions, that sort of thing. And what I read etched into the side of the sphere. Granted, my translation was a bit glitchy, but I was pretty damn sure. The Eye of the Dawn was a matter displacement unit. A portable, short-range teleportation device. I mean, is that cool or what? Latika, I told you not to touch... Oh, Mikta.
Run!
Erican stormed in, and he was furious. Harlot, I will have you beheaded for this. No one steals from me! We ran as quickly as we could, but in Latika's case, that wasn't all that fast. She was weak, and she was with child. I saw her struggling to keep up, and I knew that if I stayed with her, we'd both be caught and killed. Latika, in her condition, she just couldn't run. Go without her. Leave her behind. Was that voice something that Katesh had left behind? Or was it me? It wasn't me. Latika, this way. I've got an idea. Sometimes opportunity, it smacks you in the head. The Eye was a teleporter. I couldn't be sure of the range, but it had to be outside the walls of the Citadel. It was her only chance. Another thing I like about the Ancients, they make their stuff more or less idiot-proof. You have to be a super genius to understand the theory, but anyone with above-average intellect, like me, for example, can figure out what buttons to push. Latika, I need you to trust me. She nodded. I trust you, Viola Maldoran. I pushed the button and... It worked. 1 second she was there, and the next... But I didn't get time to enjoy the moment. The Eye was still recharging its power cells. I needed a distraction, but there was only one thing I could use. Hey, Erican! Catch! And the rest you know.
Okay, all of this comes down to the Warlord's wife. If we can find Lady Latika... Producer, then at the very least we can get the murder charge overturned. We can drive a wedge into Erican's accusations.
And maybe get me freed. Yes, great. I absolutely love that idea, but...
Where did you send her?
That's the thing, isn't it?
You don't know where you teleported her to? I thought you said you could read ancient.
A bit of ancient. I said a bit, not everything. We can't all be polylingual ultra geeks like Dr. Genius Daniel Jackson.
Polylingual ultra geek? Would Mitchell teach you that? Look, unless we can find out where you sent Latika, you're out of options.
To do that, we need to have the Eye of the Dawn. If we had the artifact, Daniel could work his nerd magic and save me. But stuck here in a damp stone dungeon with the Eye up there somewhere in Erican's gallery... Well, the thing might as well have been in the Kalium Galaxy for all the good it would do us.
I will talk to Yannick. Maybe he can help. Get me a look at the Eye.
Yeah, like that'll happen. The last off-worlder who wanted to get a look was me, and I tried to steal it. It's time for Plan C, Daniel. C as in...
Criminal? Crazy? Catastrophic?
I was going to say clever. The door opened. Jessica Yannick. How unpleasant it is to see you again.
You're not helping.
He'd dismissed the guards. Clearly, I wasn't even being considered a threat anymore, which was rather insulting, actually. Yannick took off the big hat and showed something that was almost concern. I have grave news, he explained. The Justice Council are not looking favourably upon this circumstance. Your government's attempts to intervene in an internal legal matter have been poorly received.
I was afraid of that.
Yannick had come to tell Daniel that the Council had revoked his status. He was there to escort him back to the Stargate and off Haldis.
Vala.
When you know someone well enough, you have this thing. It's not like telepathy or that sort of hoo-ha. It's just a feel for the way someone thinks, a mutual understanding, if you will. Daniel gave me a look, and I knew what I had to do.
Oh, no! I feel sick. Please, call a doctor.
What are you doing?
I haven't lost my touch. Yannick was caught by surprise, just for a second. A second was all that I needed. I got the chain under his feet, tripped him up. Daniel belatedly got involved. He can be a great distraction when he wants to be. Yannick was furious, but he was too slow. He underestimated me. And now, I had his gun. Ho, ho, ho.
You'll never do it. You're out of your mind.
Yeah. Gotta try, though.
Okay. Well, stop wasting your time talking to me. I'll keep Yannick here as long as I can. Go be a thief.
The term is free agent. I'll be back, Daniel.
I know.
I did the running thing again. As fast as I could, I worked my way up through the levels of the Great Citadel. Stairwells and laundry chutes, service elevators. At one point, scrambling up a trellis. It's a good thing I'm fit, really. I was sneaking through the atrium with the big naked statues when I heard some guardsmen speaking. One of them was relaying commands from a telegraph handset. What stopped me dead was when I heard one of them say the word, Jackson. The Dari with the eyeglasses, Jackson. He helped that harlot escape the cells. Harlot? I resent that remark. I really do. The master-at-arms has ordered the drawbridge retracted. The fortress is sealed. Ah, if she's in here, she's trapped. That was true, but what they didn't realize is that I wasn't stuck in here with them. They were stuck in here with me. Whatever that means. Anyway, but that wasn't all. They said that Daniel had been imprisoned in my stead for aiding and abetting a murderess, and he would suffer the same penalty she will. Execution. Right. So, no pressure then. Sometimes, I even amaze myself. The layout of the corridors hadn't changed enough to fox me. Without capture or the need for further fisticuffs, I made it to the gallery. I'm good, aren't I? Now, Erican was a nasty man, but he was a dull one too, mentally speaking. Cunning in only an unpleasant, crude sort of way. And way too stupid to have changed his entry code for the gallery. Deja vu. Let's see if I can get it right this time. On three. One, two, three. Oh, no alarms. Ah, Mictor. Erican had a gun that was as large and as ugly as he was. One shot from that thing would reduce my head to a cloud of fine red mist. He'd been waiting for me in the gallery. Of course he'd been waiting for me. Like I said, he was stupid, but he was cunning. He glared at me, his face split in a sneer. Hello, Vala. Do you have anything to say to your husband?
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Don't mock me, he growled. Your life is in my hands. But to be honest, mocking him was about the only thing I could do at that point. I had the eye in my hands. Yannick's stolen gun was out of reach, and I didn't think he'd fall for the catch ploy a second time. And then he did something I wasn't expecting. He thanked me. Your wretched conspiracy with Letika to rob me was a blessing in disguise, said Erican. After you fled, I turned it to my advantage. I cast you as the evil murderess and myself as the victim. Now, I've seen a lot of cons, run a few as well, and I have to say, as swindlers go, Erican showed some aptitude. It turns out the warlord's popularity was on the wane when I showed up on Huldus. The commoners were getting sick of him, and if they rebelled, his hold on the territory would be lost. My botched robbery gave him the chance to court public favour. Erican's men had seen me use the eye on Letika. They didn't know what it was. They thought I'd killed her. News of that spread, and he played right into the role of tragic, dutiful husband. A few floods of false tears, and pretty soon he was using the incident to tighten his grip on Huldus. He used a lie to get the public behind him and rode it all the way. Only thing was, he had a Vala Maldoran-shaped problem. But if he got rid of me, there'd be no one to challenge his version of events. He was so smug, I wanted to punch him. And that is why you're going to be executed, woman, so the people can heal the loss of their beloved Letika, so I can take all of Huldus for myself.
You know what, your lordship? No, I've got other ideas. I had the eye in my hands. I remembered the activation sequence. You lost me once, Erican, and now it's going to happen twice. Next time you see me, I'll be back with an SG strike team.
I was all set to beam myself out of there when Erican said, "What do you think you are doing, woman?"
Wave bye-bye, Erican. I'm going to use this thing to teleport myself away, just like I did with your wife.
And then he laughed, and he laughed. You know that moment, the first little inkling you get that something has gone very, very wrong? I had one of those. I asked him what was so damn funny, and he told me. They say a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. In all my arrogance, my overconfidence, I'd thought I'd known what I was doing with the artifact, but the truth was I was just a half-wit stabbing at the buttons. Erican had a much better translation of the ancient writing on the eye. I'd got it wrong. It wasn't a portable teleporter at all. It was what he had been using for decades to disappear anyone who got in his way. The Eye of the Dawn was a disintegrator. It turned people into vapor. Yannick had been right all along. I killed Letika. I don't really remember surrendering, but I suppose I must have. It all became a bit of a blur. My mind was churning. I couldn't focus. Could I really have been so wrong? I always thought I was so clever, so quick. Was it possible I'd made such a terrible mistake? The eye. I tried to save the life of a woman and her unborn child, and instead, was I really a murderer? Yannick arrived at the head of a squad of enforcers. He'd lost that awful hat somewhere along the way. I liked him better without it. Erican's self-satisfaction was so thick you could have sliced it with a knife. He crowed about catching me single-handedly and showed off the eye, telling everyone of how I had failed once more to complete my crime. Part of me wanted to say something, defend myself, but suddenly it seemed pointless. I couldn't see anything except Letika. Letika saying she trusted me. Yannick seemed conflicted, but he wasn't about to challenge the warlord. "What are your orders, Excellency?" he asked. Erican grinned. He'd won, and he knew it. "I'm taking the woman to the Great Hall," he said. "Bring Dr. Jackson there and summon the court. We are not going to wait until High Sun tomorrow. These off-worlders will be executed for their crimes now." In front of Erican, Yannick, assorted generals and justice ministers, the guardsmen brought us in and stood Daniel and me in the middle of the ornate chamber.
Oof. Tough crowd.
You have no idea. The warlord addressed the people, laying it on thick. I swear there were actually tears in his eyes.
"My friends," he began, "fate has smiled upon Huldus tonight. The hateful criminal murderess who so brutally took my beloved wife from us has fallen into our grasp. Vala Mala Duran..."
"Maldoran. It's Maldoran. Doesn't anyone ever listen to me?"
He ignored Daniel.
"A vicious, off-worlder criminal and her Tauri lackey. They claim innocence, but all they have brought is violence."
"They're going to kill us now, aren't they?"
"That's about the size of it."
"They're going to do something, say something."
"I'm sorry, Daniel. I let you down. I let everyone down."
That's not the sort of thing I was thinking of. "Yannick! Justicar Yannick, please. I know you're a reasonable man and this is an extreme situation. You must intervene."
But Yannick shook his head. He wasn't happy that Erican was shortcutting the whole Huldus legal system, But like I said before, no one on this planet had the guts to stand up to the warlord. And I wasn't sure if I wanted him to. Everywhere I looked, I saw Latika's face. I felt something bleak and powerful deep inside me. I felt guilt. A sense of remorse stronger than anything I'd ever experienced. Latika was dead, and it was my fault. I had to accept the blame. I couldn't shirk it. Erican, I accept my sentence. I killed Latika, but Daniel Jackson is innocent. I throw myself on your mercy, please. Let him live.
Valet, don't. I know you. You are not a murderer.
The warlord liked having the power of life and death over people. You could see it. He finally nodded, making some noise about how merciful he was, and agreed to spare Daniel, but on one condition. I have decided that the execution should be a poetic one, he said. As this woman took the love of my life from me, so she should have her life taken by her lover.
What? Who? We're not...
Erican thrust the Eye of Dawn into Daniel's hands and pointed him toward me. I knew what was coming next. The warlord nodded toward me. Your lover will experience my pain. The pain I felt when Latika was cruelly taken from me. Take it. Take the eye and disintegrate her with it, or perish yourself. But Daniel, being Daniel, his attention was elsewhere.
This is amazing. It's perfectly intact. And I've got to say, your translations, they're way off. The ancient writing on the surface here, it doesn't say teleporter. It doesn't say disintegrator either.
What?
You and Erican have transposed the Loka word group for Etha and Zano. It's actually an easy mistake to make, though.
What does it really say, then?
Strange, actually. The word means storehouse.
I take back what I said before. I really am smart. And quick. Before anyone could stop me, I snatched the eye from Daniel's hands and keyed the activation sequence I'd used on Latika, but this time I did it backwards. I mean, it's not like I had anything to lose, is it? And suddenly, there she was, alive and unhurt. Hello, she said. What am I doing here?
The Lady Latika, I presume?
Latika, in all her pregnant glory, looking exactly the way she had when I'd zapped her back in the Arboretum. And Erican, oh, his face was an absolute picture. I mean, really, I haven't seen anything that funny in ages. You see? My lord, we were both wrong about the Eye of the Dawn. It doesn't beam people across great distances and it doesn't turn them into clouds of free atoms. It's a device for storage, a bag of ultimate holding.
Sam would know better than me, but the way I figure it, the Eye digitizes objects and converts them into data streams, which are suspended in the sphere's memory for later retrieval. From the look of this, there could be hundreds, maybe thousands of patterns stored in there.
Erican was as pale as milk. And of course, why wouldn't he be? It wasn't just Latika that had been stored inside the artifact. All those people he thought he'd gotten rid of, when all along, he'd just put them in a bottle. And now, we were going to bring them all back. He was so screwed. Latika grasped the situation right away. The moment the others started reappearing right there in the Great Hall, she called on Yannick to place her husband under arrest. No one had ever been able to put the blame on Erican for the people he'd removed. Not until all of them came back at once and accused him of attempted murder. Yannick agreed. The law is the law, he said. No man should stand above it, warlord or not. The last I saw of Erican, he was being dragged away to the dungeon levels. I hope he gets the cell I had. I'm sure the rodents will keep him company.
That's our ride. Sending GDO code.
The father of Latika's child was in there too. When she saw him again, it was like the sun coming out. It was such a beautiful moment. Almost as beautiful as when Yannick told us that in light of the circumstances, all charges against Daniel and me had been annulled and we were free to go.
But he did hint rather strongly that you should never, ever, ever come back to Huldos again.
Yeah, I'm not going to be losing a lot of sleep over that. But thank you, Daniel. Thanks for getting my back.
That's what I do.
Really? And what else do you do? I mean, I think I should know, as your lover.
My what?
Well, that fact is now a matter of legal record on Huldos, which makes it true to all intents and purposes. I can't wait to tell Sam and the others.
But I'll tell you what. You won't say anything about that.
Hey, that's my backpack.
And I won't say anything about you trying to steal the Eye of the Dawn again.
After all the trouble it's caused them, I thought they'd be happier without it.
You, guard, catch.
You're no fun.
You tried to pilfer that thing twice, and both times it nearly got you killed. Haven't you learned your lesson by now?
What can I say? Third time's a charm?